Good morning. I'll be reading from the Pew Bibles that you guys have, page 423, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Martin. Well, this was going to be a sermon about life as a risk and not knowing what is to come and the ups and downs. And I had hoped that today would be a high in that this might be the first Sunday that Alice Clausen would be with us since June. But I just got word that she is back in the hospital with seizures. So I don't know how serious it is. It just came to me as I was sitting there. Chris Wood came and spoke to me. So I thought we could start by just lifting her up to God and praying for her. Dear Lord Jesus, we have had Alice Clausen on our hearts for a very long time. And she has gone through so much. And there has been steps forward and steps back. She came home a week ago, and that seemed like a really positive thing. But now she is back in the hospital, and we don't know why, we don't know how serious, but we know you are there with her and pray that they could find a reason for this and be able to help her quickly, and that she could be back on the path to healing from this terrible event that happened way back in June. Lord, you have been such a source of strength and courage to her. She is an example to us all, and pray that you would continue to lift her spirits in what is a setback. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, she is walking through that valley of shadow that Martin Lathe just read from Psalm 23. And this is a sermon series about growing in our faith. And growing our faith. And the message this morning is that in the valley of shadow, God intends on being most present to us in power, so that we can say that the greater the trial that we face, the greater God's power comes to that moment, to that person, that place, in order that his people might overcome. We may feel his presence in the middle of a trial, or we may not. More importantly is what God does inside us, that he gives us endurance, and perseverance, and peace in the midst of what can often be real setbacks like we have heard about in Alice Clausen's life. And if you've ever visited Alice in the hospital, you know you've witnessed firsthand that remarkable joy that she has shown through this whole trial. So demonstrating that God has walked through this valley with her and will continue to. Now, we very much wish to experience God, but we would like to experience God on our terms. I would like it if God would meet me at high seas on a warm summer day outside on the deck there, and I'd be drinking my favorite drink now, which is a peach and salted caramel frappe, and that we could do this together. But trials and difficulty have a way of ensuring that we experience God on his terms. It is in the pain that we actually grow up into a mature faith in a God of great glory and majesty. This is because in the good times, our human bent is to see the world the way we want to see it, and also to see God in the way we want God to be. But it is in times of pain that we learn what the world is really like, and we learn how deep loves God and power, God's love and his power extends to us. This reminded me that I was talking to the teacher at Dr. Elliott, Melvin Wade, and I was telling him about how our A girls volleyball team season ended in a disappointing defeat to a team we all thought we should beat, and then we didn't, and then there was a lot of tears, and then we went home. And Mel said, well, he knew a coach of a girls club who said that in all the years of coaching, he never had a girls team that learned a single thing from winning. And that is kind of what it may be like in the Christian life, that it is actually when we are losing that we start to learn the truth about who God is and about this world. And we realize, we come to the end of our own strength and we see something new. Because God's power comes to us in trials, we have passages like Psalm 23, which has these verses, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is a theme everywhere in Scripture, and really I just kind of picked a passage from somewhere which says sort of the same thing. Here we go, 1 Peter 1, 5 to 7. And through your faith, and this is a sermon series about faith. Yes, I put it up. Thank you. God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So saying that testing, those trials, they produce in us faith. And that faith is more precious than gold. That's what it says. The power of God in a Christian at the moment of trial is one of the clearest evidences, at least to me, that there is a God and that this God of the Bible lives. As a pastor, I'm called upon to visit people in extreme situations. And when they are, for example, facing death, it seems logical to me that I am going to go meet a person who is afraid of the unknown, who may be angry at God for having put them in this situation, who's miserable because of the pain. But consistently, it is not that way. They consistently show a peace that surprises me. And I believe that in those times, God sends power to be with his people, even when they are facing death. Now, I look within myself and do not see the strength of character to do the same. I don't know what I would do in that situation. But that is what makes it from heaven. It is not out of our own character that we are able beforehand to face a situation. It is in the moment that God comes. And we should trust him that he always will. Just by chance, I came across the verse this morning, Isaiah 43, 2, which says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters. When it happens. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I think we'd like more assurance beforehand that it's all going to work out properly. That assurance is not given to us. We just have the assurance that when it happens, God's power will be enough. When it happens. Now, we had scheduled a while ago for our testimony for today to be from Katharina Olfert to give an update on a story that was once very important to this church. We had prayed about it a lot and had it on the back bulletin and had updates. And that story was the coming of a baby in which tests had shown that the baby may be in trouble and have physical deformities. And so we prayed about that baby. Well, that baby was born, and he is now 6 years old. Hard to believe. 6 years old already. And as I was preparing the sermon, it occurred to me to phone Katharina and just ask her the question. In that time of trial, did you know that God was with you? Well, she would have said quite passionately, yes. So then I had the idea, why don't we have her as the living sermon illustration this morning? So she agreed, and so I'm going to have Katharina come up. And I should also say that her husband Isaac was very much a part of all of this, and so Katharina is the representative of the Olfert family on this. Now, I know that many of you will not know much about this story, so Katharina, I wonder if you would just give us all a little introduction to what happened. What was it that we were praying about? And then what happened when the baby was born? And then let us know how it has been over 6 years. Go ahead, Katharina.
Hi. Well, through many losses of pregnancies, we prayed for another child. We prayed just for a baby. And so here God give us a baby. So, but oh yeah, with challenges as well. So when I was just not even half along, then we did tests and they couldn't find a heart for this baby, but the baby lived. So they did echocardiograms and had a cardiologist come over and check. And they said, well, there is a lot wrong with this baby. This baby might not live. Or if he lives, born and lives, he might not live very long after birth because he will have guarantees of Down syndrome and will have very many challenges. So they asked us to just abort this pregnancy or this baby, and that was a big no for us because I don't believe in that. And so then we went along, had this baby being born, but with many challenges during the pregnancy. And then when he was born, we finally, before he was born, found out that he had tetralogy of Fallot, which is a heart defect, which often is just said as TOF. So and so we didn't know what he was going to look like. And then when he was born, they said that he does absolutely have this heart condition. And so, and I did not want to see my baby because I did not want to face this challenge that we just come through. And I felt constantly I was tested by God left and right. But my husband and my family were by our sides the entire time, which we're so grateful. I don't think we've ever personally thanked them. But we're so grateful for that and to kept the girls and took care of them. And then he lived. He had heart conditions and he lived, and he did not have Down syndrome, although I waited many hours to see my baby because I wasn't ready. And then I had a lot of praying to do to get myself ready for that. And so then I finally saw my baby and I was just in awe of, here he was, he looked precious and all, and we were excited, but all the tubes and everything, we could barely touch his skin, it was packed. Yeah, and then he had his open heart surgery. Well, he started having seizures after a month old, and then he had his open heart surgery at just under 3 months old. And then at about age 2, he was diagnosed with autism. So I've had to, both of us, my husband and I, and we've had to fight through many challenges to get special needs education for him and get different cares and go through different programs to get help, which has been a challenge each time. I don't think it should be that hard, but it's been an absolute struggle. But we try to slap a smile on our face and go for it. But yeah, it's been hard. We've been tested over and over again. And I don't think if we've ever said, why us? It's just, why is it so hard? But yeah, it's absolutely been a challenge. But here he is, 6 years old. He speaks. He now wants to be touched. He likes to look at other people. He plays, he has friends, he talks about his friends, he talks about his school, he knows the teachers by his name, the principal, who he says, you can't be bad in front of him, because he'll be bad. So yeah, he's such a sunshine in our home, and we just love him to bits, and it's been hard, but so much joy. We've been tested a few times, or many times, and it's just, why is this so hard? I come late for school, but nobody knows. I'm just bringing my kids like all the other parents do, and then I got to leave again. it's been hard, but we're so grateful for how far he's come, and the church family has been behind us, and my family and friends, and a whole medical team still that have been with us since the beginning, and we still got to see them. His cardiologist, pediatrician, they've become our family friends. So it's been absolutely wonderful. But yeah, the challenge isn't over yet. So, yeah. But yeah, he is an absolute blessing in our family. So
really well done. Yeah. Hey, is Simon here? Would he come up front?
He's at Sunday school.
I should have arranged this before. Now we want to see him.
Well, he was on stage running around while all the kids were sitting here earlier, so he showed up.
Right. Memorable scene was at the Sunday school picnic where he was dancing for us, right?
Yeah.
You know what? If you, we would bring him up on the stage at the end of the service would like to get him, because now you told a story, it becomes all the more exceptional just to see this happy boy.
I just forgot. He had a wish with Make-A-Wish.
Tell us about this.
He had a wish, and so we thought, oh, he's never going to make it because he's doing so well. But sure enough, he qualified for a wish, and his wish was to go on a cruise, and of all things, a Disney cruise. So they came over with pictures and made a decision with him, and so it was his decision of what he wanted to do. So we just got to go on a big cruise here just in November, a 7-day Western Caribbean Disney cruise. So he had so much fun, and it was just a wonderful time, and he was like, why are we having to go home now after the cruise was done? So he had a lot of fun, and I was saying, he had another wish, and the wish was to stay on a cruise longer. So and I was saying, oh, we need to go back and go to school, and he's like, I don't want to go to school, I want to stay here. But yeah, it was a wonderful experience to have that, and yeah, he was enjoying himself very much, so, yeah.
Can we pray for you?
Yeah, for sure.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for having brought Simon Olfert this far. Lord, he is a miracle among us, and we are thankful. Thank you for how you have helped Isaac and Katharina and Tyra and Tabatha as they make a family. And you have given them strength to carry on, and they love this boy and this brother. And just pray that as there are challenges to come, as Katharina says, that you would continue to help them solve problems, find the resources they need, be patient, and that Simon would continue to grow and mature as a boy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks, Katharina.
No problem.
So yes, if you find him, Katharina, just wave at the back here, and we'll bring him up to the front. 12 o'clock. Well, I'll just go on a little bit longer here. So through Christian history, there have been times where Christians have sought out suffering as a way of trying to, I guess, make God give them, pay attention to them, to purify their souls in order that they might do better once they come to meet God on Judgment Day. I am against this for this reason, that our own human nature is such a poor judge of what it is that is our problem. And likely Christians who choose suffering are doing what they hate about other people and trying to purify themselves of it. All to say that it's just simply better to allow God to be the one who sends the trials. Let him do that. And he does. There's not a person here who does not have some heavy weight on their heart, some fear, some worry, some disappointment, something that they have to go through, and it's hard, and they don't know what the end is. And God arranges and organizes these things just right. It's exactly what we need. And it's hard, and as Catherine has said several times, there are challenges to come. And she said several times it is hard. But we have to trust that God is measuring it out just right, just what we need, and to be patient and to endure. God is the best soul trainer. In the meantime, we can humbly and reasonably pray for God's goodness and blessing. That is not wrong either. We prayed that Isaac and Katharina's boy would be healthy. And we are praying for all our babies to be healthy. We are praying for Carrie and Stephanie's baby to be healthy. And a healthy baby is something to rejoice over. Isaac and Katharina did not choose an autistic boy. But Simon came, and he was precious. And he remains precious. Here's the man himself. Simon, can you come up here? I was just talking about you, Simon. Well, Katharina, will he let me pick him up? Don't know. Can we try? Can you just show everybody what you got? Can I pick you up? So, okay. Now, this is Simon Olford, and he is precious. Can you show them what you were making there? Right here? Oh, you were coloring the Bible. There we go. Thanks, Simon. We're so glad to have you. So God gives us what we need, and everything becomes precious as he works it and brings about something beautiful. That is the story of the Olfords. What then should we do? We can recognize, first of all, that all our difficulties that come our way are not, for the Christian, a curse, but an opportunity. If we can see it so, an opportunity to know God's power in a new way. Trials grow greater, God's power grows greater. We experience him more in the midst of the difficulties that we face. Second, we can also pursue our calling. And for every person who gives their life to Jesus Christ, God puts in the heart of that believer a purpose, something that makes their life active, something that they wish to do. And calling, when it runs into our fallen world, will bring about all kinds of hard things. When calling comes into contact with real life, there is going to be disappointments, failures, setbacks, and trials. Calling is always an adventure, and it is always a risk. I have to tell this one story. I said if I saw her here, I would tell the story so that she can deny it afterwards if she needs to. I don't know if she would remember. She probably didn't hear me. She probably didn't notice me overhearing her, and it was a long time ago, but I just thought, you know, that is the correct attitude to risk. It was Donna Steffen over here, and she was in the basement, and she was going on about how she hated risk, how she hated adventure, how people wish people stop talking about that because it's always hard, and I don't like risk and adventure, which made me laugh because it was the sure sign of somebody who actually does risk and adventure, and we know that. She puts on our summer jam and our VBS, and that is a huge work, and there's all kinds of things to accumulate, to bring together supplies and decorations, and then to find volunteers. It is a hard, hard thing to do. And Donna doesn't do it because she likes hard things. Obviously not. She said so. But she does it because she loves those kids. From my point of view, she even loves more those teenagers who are working with her and who she is just so fantastic with. You know, teenagers having their very first experience of serving Jesus in a place like that. And we just have been so fortunate to have her as her call, have that as her calling, even though it is full of difficulty and risk and adventure. And she looks beyond that to the purpose. And all of us should have that, that we're not pursuing trouble. We wish that the Olfords had a healthy boy, but it was an autistic one, and he has become beloved. And for all of us, we just pursue that calling because of the good in it. When it makes contact with the broken world, all kinds of bad things are going to happen. That's what's going to happen. But we look to the good in the calling, and it draws us forward. So those two things I wanted to say. First of all, right now, everybody has in their heart something that is hard. It is hard. But God's power is greater. And he seems to almost take a delight to rush to the point of where that hard thing is and so demonstrate that he is with us, walking with us through that valley. And the second thing is, of course, not to pursue suffering, but to understand that for every Christian, there is this calling, this mission, this purpose within them, which defines their active life as a believer. And when that calling gets resisted by the devil and by a fallen world, hard things are going to happen. And we need to realize that that God gives us the power to endure through, to push through. Well, then let us pray for God's power among us. Lord, we are so thankful for this promise that you walk with us through the valley of shadow and that you purify our faith so that it becomes more precious than gold. And on we have through Scripture your promises that when we walk, when we pass through the waters, you will be with us. It is your assurance from beginning to end in Scripture and from beginning to end in our lives. So we entrust our lives to you and ask that that Spirit, that Holy Spirit of endurance and patience and peace might be true of all of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This closing song is just a great way to declare that God is always on our side. So why don't you stand?
Colossians 1:11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy. Amen. You are dismissed.